Thank you for being with us this morning. You and Keith probably have lots of interesting things to talk about. I can hardly wait. Front page of the paper today shows that the true, not true, but the closer numbers of how vouchers and everything else really does affect dollar-wise in our community. Tell us what your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I know you're not a big fan of it, but you can. This is the first time I can remember where you see the dollar amount that shows here's what went from that could be here but is over there.
Right, and it was a good article by Brittany Howell in the paper that described for statewide how many vouchers are used, and then locally how much money that means, and what people a couple years ago, our numbers for vouchers were up higher when Pinnacle School, which works with students with learning disabilities, when that school was functioning the way it was a couple years ago, it was much more crowded and it had more students there using vouchers. They incorporated with MCCSC, and now most of those students are in our school corporation or their home school corporation. So that really lowered the number of vouchers. But it appears that Lighthouse Christian Academy and some other religious schools have driven that number back up close to our highest at a couple years ago. And that's real money. I think that's something that taxpayers might be very concerned with, that the money that, according to the state constitution, is supposed to be used for public education for all children is being diverted by families who want their children to go to a non-public school. And mostly in Indiana, that means religiously based schools. Now, of course, the Supreme Court ruled that because the money is going to the parents and then the parents pay it to the school, that it isn't really paying for a scholarship. I disagree with that, but I'm not part of the Supreme Court, so I did not get to make the decision. But I think there's a lot of taxpayers who get really concerned because they don't want their public tax money paying for a specific religious type of education, and they would rather have it be in a non-public school. So again, that's something people, if that's how they feel, they need to speak out on that. We need to affect our legislature. But it is a big, it's a big financial loss to the homeschool.
Sue, I need to jump in here because on the front page of today's Indianapolis Star, I just want to read from one paragraph of the story. They're doing a story about the vouchers in private schools, and they talk about even more vouchers accepting schools. Families are required to sign statements of faith as a condition of enrollment, affirming that they hold the same religion beliefs and same values as the school that they're enrolling their child in. And then it goes on from there for other things about religion and being mixed in private money and et cetera, et cetera. But anyhow, that's on the front page of Indianapolis Star today.
And thank you, Keith. That's good information because that would really seem to violate state law. And here's the other thing, too, about a private school. They don't have to accept you. You know, Keith Klein could say, I want to go here, and they could say, well, Keith, you're a behavioral problem, so we're not going to accept you. Or Keith might not have very good grades, and they don't have to accept him. He might have some disabilities that they don't want to necessarily have to deal with. They don't have to accept him because it's a private school. So when you get down to that, it really, really, to me, violates the basic principle of public education being our common education and a basis for our democracy.
Let's talk a little bit about Tuesday's meeting because there were several things that came up, not the least of which we talked about last time, last week when you were on, and that is about some money that's going to be spent and some bonding issues and stuff like that.
We had at the beginning, well, before our actual meeting started, we had what is known as a 1028 hearing, 1028. And that's the time when a school corporation like ours is proposing spending money for capital projects. That's a project that's over $1 million. And the hearing is a time when the community can come and object or ask questions or make statements about how we're spending that money. So we had that hearing before the meeting started, and we had no one objecting. So that hearing went forward, and we approved the projects. And this, I think it's, is it six or seven projects. I have them listed here. Turf for the South High School football field. It's something that we have tested periodically, and it's to its 10-year limit. Binford and Lakeview need some ADA work done in the bathrooms to be compliant. North had a power issue, and because they had a power issue, so we're going to go in and have some of that, our electrical connections redone so that Duke will now own the material or own the equipment, which would mean from now on that they would have to repair. Jackson Creek needs a new roof.
Right.
Yeah, it's a couple million bucks there.
Yeah, and some upgrades to Fairview Tech, IT stuff. So each one of those is over $1 million, which is why we had to have the 1028 hearing. But something that I've talked about for as long as I've been on the school board, I am so grateful for our school corporation for not deferring maintenance from year to year to year. A lot of schools get in a situation where they don't have a lot of money for capital improvement, so they have to keep deferring that. We've been able to keep up on stuff so that we don't hit an emergency, we don't hit a big, huge expense, and this kind of upkeep for our buildings is what allows us to do that and not get into the tens of millions of dollars to have to repair something in an emergency. So I'm just so glad that our school corporation has been so forward-thinking with that.
Well, you have been, and now we've got to have some sideward thinking going on because obviously the annexation talk that's wrapped up everybody around here, how is that going to directly affect the school funding and revenue? We talk about students going to different schools, taking vouchers, taking money out of the system. How is the annexation of that going to help or hurt anything?
We're not really sure, Glass.
That's that's not good to hear.
No, there was some talk that, especially in the Richland Township area, which isn't part of our school corporation, of course, but the property tax cap, the circuit breakers might be hit, which would then not allow property taxes to go up above a certain amount. But we don't think that's going to hit. That was brought up when this was first going on, but we don't think... with the new fiscal report that was out by the city, we don't think that's going to happen.
So the MCCSC, everything's fine, rolling along, or when are you going to know if that affects you or not? Or does the referendum cover all this stuff? What are we looking at here?
Well, the property tax that comes into MCCSC pays for transportation costs and... help me here, Keith. It might pay for part of our capital projects fund.
Yes.
But most of our budget, the vast majority of our budget, is covered by the general fund, which is paid for through state taxes.
There you go.
So we have I don't want to say small because transportation isn't small, but we have smaller budgets that are covered with property tax. And we haven't gotten a final report on it yet, and I think... I stayed up and watched that meeting last night.
What time did it end, Sue?
It was after midnight.
Sure.
It was a very interesting meeting, and I watched it because I'm in the annexation area. I was interested in what people had to say. It appears that there's still some financial information coming in. I don't think that's odd. I can remember, I don't know, maybe it was 15 years ago when the city did one annexation, and things change from time to time, from day to day, as new information comes in, because you're relying on the state for some information, you're relying on the county for some information, and right now the county is doing a study as to what they might lose or gain as a part of this, so hopefully we'll get some more information for the school corporation for that.
And those of you just tuning in, there was an amendment trying to slow down the process. It was voted down 5-4. Everything will continue as planned for now, Philippa Guthrie, she's the counselor for the city, not the city
corporation
council. There you go. Thank you. Corporation was the word I was looking for. She said if things have to change and we find other things, and yeah, this is a fluid type situation. So we'll keep our eyes on all of that. But those who try
and
to
I'm
slow
sure
it
Mary
down,
Catherine, And Mick at 8:30 will fill you in even more on that, whoever's going to talk
will.
To you.
And we will figure out what some of those issues are moving forward. And now once this is hit, the timeline keeps moving forward, then they're going to put this all together. Then they're going to send out the letters. And then remonstrance can take place. And then there's a big meeting May 31st at South High School. The reason it's at South High School should tell you everything you'd want to know. They need a bigger...
Accommodate the crowd.
You're going to need a bigger
boat.
That's right. That's exactly right. What else do we need to cover?
Well, Sue, one of the things that was handled at the meeting was referred to as the immigration resolution. I'm not sure I like that title, but talk about that because it has a lot to do with our students.
We know that with the new federal administration, with President Trump, that we have had more action by immigration officers removing people from this country, people who are undocumented. All over the country, different schools are looking at this because when students come to a public school, we don't ask them for their papers. That's not something a public school would do, and I think everyone in this community knows we have undocumented people living here, and we have children of undocumented people living here who might be legal or not. So our resolution was to recommit to the safety and security and well-being of all students in our schools, and it described the protocol for if an immigration and customs enforcement officer were to come onto school grounds and what has to happen with that. And we kind of modeled it after a resolution in IPS, but ours really addresses our school corporation more by restating our mission and our vision and our core values for our students and how those kinds of things are reflected in our policies. And we did this primarily because we have children in schools who are worried that their parents or they will be taken away. And we have parents who are signing directives, legal directives, as to what should happen with their children if they are taken away. So we did this to at least reemphasize that our schools are a safe place for our children because there's a lot of angst in this community. And we had several people speak to this during the public comment section, encouraging us to do this and even make it stronger, which we did not.
What is your legality as a corporation? How far can you go, or what can and can't you do on that?
Well, that's a really good question, Glass, because I pushed that a little bit. And I asked to amend the resolution to include that we would not allow ICE officials on any school property with the exception of the school administration building. Our attorney of record for the school board is Tom Bunger, and he brought with him Joe Fuschetto, who's an immigration attorney with Bunger and Robertson. And he told us that we're pushing right up against state law, which says we can't direct any employee to not comply with federal officials or law enforcement officials.
Yeah, it sounds like a gray area there.
It kind of is, and I guess my point was I kind of wanted to push it because I would like there to be a test case. I don't necessarily want it to be us because I don't know what the ramifications of that would be. But I'm satisfied with what we did and that we were able to have this resolution because, you know, we hear from teachers all the time about, you know, what kids are feeling, and we want kids to feel safe. And Kathy Fuentes Rohr, who has Latino children, brought this up, and she brought it up a few weeks ago, the need to do this. And she and her husband have work a lot with the Latino community, and they were talking about the fear, especially of families in that community.
Stu, before we let you go, there are a couple of big events coming up. One is we're honoring students for their accomplishments, and another one is our Evening of Stars that's coming up.
Right. Yeah. Last week, Keith and I forgot what it was called. It's called the Evening of the Stars, and this is what we've converted our retirement reception into, a very, very nice retirement banquet where we're honoring all of our retirees as well as outstanding staff from our schools, and that's in May. But then, April 4th, this coming Tuesday, is our personal achievement banquet sponsored by the Lions Club, and this has been going on for years, and the Lions Club is very proud that they're able to do this in conjunction with the school foundation. And we will be recognizing students from our different high schools who have overcome challenges and just some really difficult situations in order to succeed. And then the Lions Club also offers several of these folks some scholarship money for them to continue their education. So it's always, you know, it's always a great time, and then Keith gets really choked up, and then he makes me get choked up. So I can't sit next to Keith, or I can't look at him, because he'll make me too choked up.
It's a very emotional thing, because what some of these youngsters are overcoming in order to go to school and do well is absolutely encouraging.
Oh, it's great to recognize as well.
Right. If I was left alone as a high school kid, I wouldn't have gone to school. I mean, I would have just, I don't know what I would have done, but there's some kids here who don't really have families, and they get themselves to school, which is just amazing to me. So, yeah, we'll recognize them and the Lions Club. We're very grateful to the Lions Club for all that they do to sponsor this.
Awesome. When is that again coming up?
That next is Tuesday. Tuesday at 6.
Gotcha. Excellent. So we'll get a full report next week then. Sounds good.
You sure will.
All right. Enjoy your final days of March. No fooling on Saturday.
That's right.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. No April Fool's jokes at my house, please.
None at all.
Okay.
You're safe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Sue Wanzer, Keith Klein, both serve on the MCCSC school board and join us every Thursday morning. I think we've got everything back in between the yellow lines, Keith.
Okay, good.
I think we're okay here. We're going to thank Koontz Construction for getting us going this morning. Josh and the gang, if you need help, they can help you out with the exteriors of your house, Keith, including replacement windows by Simonton. We'll just call them for a free estimate. Find the number, KOONTZConstruction.com. And we thank J&S for being with us this morning. J&S, everything for the residential, commercial, outdoor technician. Find it all at 508 West 17th Street here in Bloomington.